What happens when you hang out with other people who have done something that you desire to do, and this is the same thing as relational coaching or therapy, unconsciously your nervous system is actually connecting to the nervous system of the person that you're around. You're picking up on that. So even if you're afraid to create and start, when you get into a room or on a call or whatever it is with other people who are doing that, your body starts to breathe into it without you even knowing it.
When we haven't done something, it's scary and you can spiral out. You're like obsessing about trolls for 25 minutes and you don't even realize. But all of a sudden you're in the right room with people, it stops the spiral and someone asks a brilliant question instead that changes the trajectory of your thinking, like, well, what's the best thing that can happen?
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Mark Groves Podcast. Today I am welcoming back many time return guest because she's a superstar of money, entrepreneurship, all the things, and a personal coach, mentor of mine, partner, friend, Selena Gray.
Hi, I'm so happy to be here.
Happy to have you back. This time we're going down a different vein because we've previously been like, hey, who pays on a first date? And like, should couples have different bank accounts and all that kind of stuff, which are important subjects. And if those are things you're interested in, go check out our previous episodes. But this one, I really wanted to get into something that's near and dear to my heart because it's part of my journey with you and our journey together, which is that I have long believed, and I know for you listening and watching, you know, I'm like, yo, your relationships are the vehicle that you need to focus on because they will be like the amplification of the things that you need to change or grow or be different or develop. And in doing that, you'll change your life. And because I've been so on the journey of my own business and growing it and shrinking it and growing it and pivoting and identity and blah, blah, it's like, and you've been along my side the whole time and me along your side in the relational journey. It's like that I recognize now that actually, although relationships are a very potent vehicle for growth, there's something about the relationship to our purpose and business and entrepreneurship that is also especially potent. I think the two almost stand side by side. What do you think?
I completely agree. You know, I've been an entrepreneur now for 13 years. I've walked with thousands of entrepreneurs. And the whole concept of being a business owner is just having all of the stories and the wounding and all of the things that aggravate you thrown in your face. There's all kinds of fears. There's having to come through and decide, like, I can sell something, a product and or a service. And we can experience different waves of this as a new entrepreneur or as an experienced entrepreneur. And it forces us, it's a vehicle for change of personal and professional growth. Because the whole idea of entrepreneurship, it allows you to be your best self. And in doing that, it forces you to be your best self in all ways. So I've had clients who start a business and then realize they're completely activated by relationships with customers or pricing models or the relationship to money or having to market something. And the trickle down effect turns into something beautiful with their spouse or their kids because they're doing all of this work. It has this amazing effect on their entire being.
Yeah, so true too, because when someone wakes up within relationships, starts to see they're people pleasing or they're avoiding love or whatever it is, they're waking up to their voice and then they're like, shit, I don't like my job. Like, I want to do, wait, I know a guy right now who's going through a divorce and that made him start to really think about why he does what he does. I'm working with him as a client. And now he's like, I want to work with men who are going through divorces because I'm seeing how much support I needed in this process. And he works in the like contracting space. And he's now like, this is the journey I want to go on. And it's so beautiful to witness like that his wound is becoming his mission, like where his pain has been, it's becoming his purpose. And yeah. What do you think about that?
That's evident for both you and I. We have taken our struggles in a variety of ways and worked through that, did all kinds of healing, and then really wanted to amplify that to our communities and create breakthroughs and transformations for others. So I love that example because heart-led people are connected to a bigger mission and they want to create exponential value and change for people in their community. You know, when people want to start a business or pivot and change a business, if they've been a business owner a long time, that inevitably is like, I've learned something or I want to do something better that's going to help more people. And if you're listening to this podcast, you're a heart-led soul. Right. And I think so many of us can connect with that. Like, I love that he turned his pain into purpose. And a lot of people do that as entrepreneurs. And then you've walked the talk, you know what it takes, and it's changed right. you, it's shifted you. And then all of a sudden, like, your pain can then help and motivate and create lessons or shorten the learning curve for other people. And that can be totally intoxicating in the best way, because you're like, wow, you know, my harm or my struggle has meaning, you know. And you and I have talked about that many of times when people have reached out and said, oh my gosh, like, thank you for this. You know, this was going down a bad path. And then you shared your experience and it completely changed the trajectory of what I was doing. And for me, that's deeply rewarding because, you know, we want people in this life to live the best experience. And so entrepreneurship can create so many great opportunities for us to walk with exceptional people. And whether it's a product or a service, create change in their life. And mm-hmm. that is amazing. And so I love that the other piece that you brought up about that example was that man is now connected to his purpose. And when we have businesses that are connected with our purpose, we are all in, right. you know, like heart and soul. Anymore. No, we're digging up the sleeves and we're excited.
Yeah, there's two parts to this. The first part is like, when you start to do that, you start to witness yourself in your essence. You're passionate about it because you're like, I need to build something that I needed. And the vehicle to which we do it might be different. Like, you know, might have experienced like transformative connections at a spa that you went to, and now you want to start a spa and do the same thing. Like, it doesn't really matter, but it's like, what is the why in what you're creating? The other thing I'll say that I've witnessed in working with people is that when they end a toxic relationship or like put boundaries where there is toxicity, they start to thrive professionally. And when they start to witness at first their job that they're not maybe in synchronicity with, they're not feeling aligned with, just the acknowledgement of that now opens this window where they're now at least open to an alternative, to a different way of doing. And then there's people who from that space develop businesses where they help people find their passion who are working, right? So it's like, it's everything is just fueling more alignment, more abundance. And it's not like some woo-woo bullshit. It's like literally true that if you stop putting your energy towards things that feel challenging, not challenging in an expansive way, but like you're pushing against your values, you're pushing against what you desire in your life, and you start to just turn, as Abraham Hicks would say, like start to go downstream, everything starts to flow. You know, you start to see that the frictions are actually teaching you where to direct your life. And I always say this as like a reminder for myself, because it's not like you reach the destination and you're like, woohoo, it's done. I never have to do personal growth again. My business is never going to have to shift. People said that about fax machine marketing and everything changed substantially. Email marketing, everything changed substantially. Social media, organic reach, everything has changed substantially. So everything requires this constant reorientation and this constant rebirthing process.
I think entrepreneurship is deciding that you are signing up continuously for hard things and willing to meet yourself there. And while you're doing those hard things, you get to meet your best self, your truest self. You get to have incredible transformations. And there's something really incredible about doing that. And I want to talk a little bit about, you know, entrepreneurship can be lonely when you're doing it on your own. And that's one of the reasons why you and I have always been a sounding board for each other in business. So it doesn't matter what's going on in life or business, it can feel challenging. It can feel debilitating sometimes. And you're always wanting to ask someone you trust what can be the right next step. And I think you and I have really mastered that, being sounding boards for each other at every step along the way. And we've known each other, what, at least a decade now?
Yeah, it's probably running about then.
And in doing that, you know, we've seen the infancy of business. We've seen extreme highs, extreme lows. And it's an inevitable part about a business. But when you have a group of people or someone that you trust to help you reimagine your business when social media algorithms change, or, you know, people aren't opening up your emails as much, you get back into purpose quicker. You get back into, why did I want to do this in the first place? You find that inner fire and you really think about the quality of your life differently rather than just being mechanical, doing it, getting it done. You come back into that energy of like, I want to live my best life. I want to have a vision for my company. I want it to be profitable. I want to have my identity shift and take on new forms of leadership. I want to make the most of this one precious life. And sometimes when you're on one track and you're just continuing to do business like you've always done, you can forget that or feel, you know, beat up and spit out by the market. And having someone be a sounding board that you trust, who has full integrity, who loves being heart-led alongside you, is a game changer. And that's simply been the case for us.
This is so true of like all the science supports that very well, in that like the types of people you hang out with speak possibility into you or not. And, you know, it's like smokers hang out with smokers, no judgment if you're a smoker, but like the decisions we make are contagious. So like when someone gets divorced in a friend's group, the divorces go up in the circles around them. But when someone becomes an entrepreneur, starts using their voice, starts stepping into their possibility and their potential, other people around them start doing that. And if you're hanging around with people who are not entrepreneurs, that's not a problem, because that's obvious, you know, that could be just true that people like to work at businesses and all that kind of stuff. But it's like, you need to choose to be around people who speak into your potential. Because if someone's like, oh, how are you going to make money? Like, that will never be successful. Who are you to do that? And those are often the internal narratives we have in our mind anyways, because they come from our families. They come from the news. They come from our schools, who like when we're five are like, what do you want to be when you grow up? And then when you grow up, you're like, I want to be that. They're like, nah, I don't know. You got to be an accountant. No offense. You have to be in finance. You have to be a doctor. You have to be an engineer. You have to be all these linear logical things. Again, no problem with that. It's just that it creates this like, this is the path and that path is the path to success. But the other thing about being an employee, which I think is just like common to the whole pattern I'm talking about of like being around upper limits that are not inviting you to shatter them, is that being an employee, you will only ever be able to make the maximum amount of the tier or status of whatever, like your manager level, director level, VP level, CEO level. But when you're an entrepreneur, the market cap is your potential. But even then, that is always growing and expanding. So yeah, there's like so much I'm impassioned about by this, because liberation in relationship can be liberation in business and liberation in life. And then we allow ourselves, which has been harder for me, but like allow ourselves to actually be in abundance, because so many of the money stories that I have were like, rich people are bad, people with money are bad, people with wealth lie. And I remember you saying to me, like, money just amplifies who you really are. And I was like, oh yeah, that's so true. But I have this internalized narrative that doesn't allow me to hold wealth, because if I hold wealth, I have to be a bad person. Like, it was this choice. Or if I make more money, the poor person can't make more money, as if there's this finite amount of money, which all you have to do is watch the government. And that's not true, because they just print more.
This is really beautiful that you brought this up, because if you already have some money work to do, which PS, we all do, going into business, it can really create ceilings on what you think is possible for yourself. And do you mind if we share an example, a real Mark Groves example in business? Yeah, are you okay if we share?
Yeah.
All right. I love it. Several years ago, I remember Mark doing these incredible months, and he would sit and talk with people, and it was lighting his soul on fire. And you're making about $10,000 a month. And I was flying to see you. I remember showing up early and you're like, whoa, 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 what is this? But we dove into Mark's business around kind of the core vision that he held and who he really wanted to work with in an ideal state, and some of the systems that he had, and relationally who he was working alongside, and what his team looked like, and his capacity, and what he desired for his quality of life. And we started realizing that there was so much untapped potential sitting there. And so Mark and I masterminded together, like a hive mind. Mastermind is typically referred to as this opportunity to create exponential growth inside his company, because he was getting a lot of views, seeing a lot of amazing people online, but it wasn't necessarily turning into revenue. And Mark's never been necessarily motivated by money. He was motivated by creating change in his community, which is probably one of the reasons you're listening to this, because you know the heart of Mark Groves. But we sat there and I just pummeled him with questions. And we created this environment where we could reimagine his business based on the momentum and traction he was creating, and then the opportunities that lied ahead. And I think within 90 days, Mark, you did a 7-figure launch, right?
Yeah, we had a 7-figure month within 90 days. Yeah. Yeah. And it was so fascinating because it was like, that was never, before you showed up on that very early time on that day, I remember being like, an outlandish goal that wasn't even in my outlandish goal. Like my outlandish goal would have been like, I don't even know, 25 or 50 would have been, 50 would have been bananas.
And all of a sudden there's a 7-figure launch. And to unpack like the Coles notes of what that took was realizing that Mark had a ceiling, you know. And if you've listened to other episodes that we talked about, I gave an example of this where, you know, he felt like, you know, through interactions with his mom growing up, that, you know, rich people were people who were making over $10,000 a month, right, Mark?
Yeah, like anything that was beyond just surviving, like being stressed about money was like a normal, that was a normal part of the narrative, of what I saw in conversation about people who had wealth.
And so we started deep diving into his relationship to money as it related to his business and also personally, because they're interwoven. You know, who we are in business is who we are in other areas of life. So we started deep diving along that alongside the work with his team. And all of a sudden, it created a massive explosion of revenue inside his company. And then a lot more people were thrilled because they got the opportunity to spend more time with Mark inside of different environments and containers in his offerings. And that created all kinds of momentum. And I remember you being absolutely shocked.
Oh my God, so shocked. But also like, holy, like the generosity that poured out, the like taking care, like it just allowed me to also take more care of people I loved and feel less stressed. And like everything transcended that. And you know, what's interesting is I didn't change, like all of a sudden start charging $100,000 for coaching clients or something. It was like, I just went from making webinar to making a course and did a live launch for a course. And so it wasn't even this big transition. It was like, just change the way I did business and where I focused my energy and how I presented what I was offering and organized the ideas in a longer than like a 2-hour webinar. It became a 4-week course. And it was just so powerful to see that simple strategic shift that you offered me through the guidance, like through our conversations, that all of a sudden I was like, holy, this, I never would have imagined this. And then you're starting to imagine, because now you've just blasted through a big, like audacious target that now you're like, well, what else? What else can I do? Like that, there's no limit then.
And the key in all of this is that it didn't change you. Like the money didn't change you like it, you thought it would. In fact, like it really did amplify who you were. So, you know, I'm really sharing behind the scenes here. But Mark inevitably honored his team more. You know, when the company did well, he bonused out his team more and he did more things for the people around him because that is who Mark Groves is. And it was just beautiful to watch. And so why I'm sharing this is, you know, you've seen Mark Groves, you know, on the front lines, speaking all kinds of relational brilliance, but he's also really been building entrepreneurship for many, many, many years and navigating leadership and vision and doing the money work, which is inevitably why we created the Relationship to Money course many years ago. But we've been sounding boards for each other. We've helped reimagine our businesses. And I would love to share kind of how Mark's done that for me. You know, I would speak on stages, but I was scared to talk about the relationship I had with my mom, which was really, really challenging. You know, I was working really hard to navigate my relationship with her, but it was stopping me. I felt like I couldn't be all of myself in my business because I was hiding this like dirty, dark secret that who could I be as a business owner if I couldn't even get along with my mom? You know, and it wasn't necessarily rational, but it was stopping me. And Mark spent so much time with me working through the layers of grief and shame and, you know, denial and all of the things. And I remember you just coaching, holding, mentoring me through the process of like, no, you have to go through this. You have to do the work. Would you mind to share a bit of what you remember of that?
Yeah, what's so powerful about, you know, if you're listening or watching and you're thinking, oh, I got some relationship stuff with my mom or my dad. And I mean, who doesn't have a little bit of that or a lot of that? So to contextualize it. But, you know, like most of us start exploring our relational challenges with our romantic partner, right? And that's usually what brings it forward. But then we get back to the pathology usually lives somewhere in the early years of our life. And a lot of us will start to make those changes and use our voice in the interpersonal relationships we have. But eventually, we will go back to the place of origin if we can, if it's safe to do so, if it's safe to lay a boundary, if it's, you know, or to create safety, we might do that. And it's interesting because like you are one of those people that when you learn something, you're like, okay, like better just hit the gas on this. Like from this day forward, this will never be the same. And so I acknowledge you for that, because that journey, you know, whenever anyone's learning about boundaries, I'm like, don't start with your mom. Like that's the hardest place, because that's where usually the place where there was no boundaries, or they were violated, or they were. And so it's usually from a nervous system perspective, the hardest place to begin. But for some people, they're just like, let's effing go. And so I remember that process, because you had so many challenges of like, and this is so true for people with relationships to parents, but especially mothers, is like, who am I if I can't have a relationship with my mother? Like, this is blood. This is family. This is what you deal with. This is what you do. And it's like, nope. No, it isn't, actually. It doesn't have to be. Your family can be chosen. The way you engage with your family can be chosen. And we have to, if we want to create like abundant love in our life and abundance in general, we have to actually put the plugs in the places that are siphoning our energy. And I remember witnessing you engage in exactly that, where I know it was like such a confronting thing to have to approach the relationship with your mother, because it was like, it was the deepest work, I'm going to guess, you've ever been asked to do from a personal perspective. Yes.
100%. And I just remember like feeling fear to post, because everything I posted, she critiqued. Or I remember getting a national feature in a publication and she made that wrong for me. And so it just helped me stay small. And you really helped me take up the space that I wanted to. And then I saw the ripple effect of how I didn't have boundaries with her and how that translated into me not having boundaries with my clients. And it just really became this potent ripple effect. And within 3 months of that work, I got a restraining order for my mom, which was absolutely necessary. It was a last resort, but I did it. And within 3 months, I had a $500,000 launch. And I know it's 100% because of you holding space, doing the work, being Mark Groves for me. And, you know, it's just, it's so incredible to unpack this, because you and I, you know the stories, but we don't unpack it this way. And I'm just like forever grateful to you for being the person I can go to and call anytime. And I think that the longer I'm in business, the more I realize that this is so rare. And one of the reasons I'm so passionate about wanting to be in rooms with entrepreneurs. And before we were talking about like who we hang around is always kind of what we're up to. And it made me visualize the idea of crabs in a bucket. You know, crabs in a bucket, when someone's climbing to the top, what does a crab do instinctually? You know, pulls the crab down. And one of the things that I believe is that you helped give me wings when I needed, you know, and that is helping me reimagine business. So doing the relational work or doing the hard things in business or just being around someone who really pulls out your best can be deeply transformative in many ways. And I think especially for me, when I did the work with my mom, it made me know and believe 100% I could do anything.
Yeah, for me in business and in personal, it's been really interesting to witness how they're so correlated. You know, like usually the upper limit I'm hitting relationally is completely, not usually, always completely connected to the upper limit I'm hitting in business and in self-expression or whatever it might be. And, you know, when you start to, because I think there's like, yeah, you have like the maybe the friends that you hang out with who are not in entrepreneurship and they're not interested in that world. And that's fine, but you still have to find places and ways that you're expanding what you believe is possible. And you start to, what's really interesting is when you start to grow like that, like the crab in the bucket, you do notice the inner voices of like, who am I to, like all the imposter syndrome, normal things. And I think the hardest thing for me when I first started, but this has been true of every expansive decision I've made, is that that imposter syndrome part stalls my start. You know, it's like, and I remember Seth Godin saying to me that imposter syndrome is just a sign that you're doing new things. And I was like, oh, that's so simple. That's so simple, Seth. That's why you are who you are. But, and I started to see it like, oh, it's evidence that I'm actually in the unknown. I'm creating something new. But the one thing that I want anyone who's thinking about birthing a business or rebirthing a business or shifting is like, don't fucking delay. Because for me, like when I first started Create the Love, it was a 4-year process before I started it. And to be honest, I could have started. I mean, it's the perfect time, all that's beautiful universe stuff. But at the same time, I'm like, man, if I had had some ass kicking coaching and like accountability, I could have probably started really well at least a year before, if not two. Because what I was missing was someone speaking the possibility into me. And it was when I heard the line, every time you delay starting, you do not help someone who needs what you have to give. And so like, yes, that's how arrogant to believe your gifts are for you. That has always been one of the most powerful things I've ever heard.
Me too.
Yeah, because then all of a sudden it was like, oh, like appeal to the codependent part of me, perfect. But it's like, motivate me to actually get out of my own fucking way and just, yes, begin, just start.
And my version of that is, you know, I don't always want to do it for myself, but if I think bigger than myself, if I think about my family or my friends or my community now, like I could see the faces of people in my community and I become braver. I become stronger. I'm like, no, I can do these hard things. And it's one of the reasons why I find entrepreneurship so worthwhile is it always has you going to an edge. You're always expanding, learning. And there's things like now that I couldn't have believed were possible. Like before I started my entrepreneurial journey, I didn't really want to be an entrepreneur, but now, 13 years later, like the experiences that I've had, blown my mind, you know, the conversations that I've had, the interactions with people, the stages I've spoken on, you know, the DMs that I've had, you know, all of those things are like soul medicine. And so, you know, if you're listening to this, you know, it's not just strategy and dollars and cents. While those things are important, it's more about making sure you're building a business that honors your life first. And Mark and I have held each other accountable to that every step of the way. And we are regularly in communication. Like in 2023, my illness, I have Crohn's disease, really took a front seat in my life. And it was debilitating for me. I was still servicing my amazing clients, but I just didn't have enough energy to grow my business. And I'm like a mover and shaker kind of gal. And I like to grow every year. And it was really something I was, you know, talking to Mark about. And then I'd hide from Mark when he'd call me because I was like, oh, I don't know. And, you know, months later, I finally called him and he helped facilitate many things behind the scenes for me, helping my health journey, which thank you so much for.
Always.
But I called him and I said, okay, I'm finally ready. I'm finally ready. And he's like, I knew you'd be. Here I am. Let's pick up. Like, that's a priceless business sounding board because it's a personal connection that has ripple effects in so many momentous ways.
Yeah, we all need that. We all need to, you know, have other people who are like reflecting the challenges to, we're reflecting like our limitations, you know, because you and I both can call one another and we have networks in our lives that are about, hey, I'm going through this challenge or I need this support or I don't know how to do this because I've never done it. I think one of the things that people following this podcast or my work generally are thinking a lot about is like their relationship to social media, because it's been such at the forefront of my own experience. And, you know, I really believe, like, I don't know the answer of how it fits into businesses for everybody. And it doesn't have to not fit in, of course. It's more like, how are we going to use tools like that when we're growing, when we're changing, when we're launching businesses, all that kind of stuff. Like, do we have to have a social media platform? Do we not? What is the nature of our business? Does it make sense? Which one do we choose? All that stuff can be paralyzing, confronting decisions. And, you know, that's the thing that we, you know, I think can get really frozen at. We can get frozen at all these, like, how am I going to do accounting? What will be my billing software? What will be, you know, all that. And it's, how do I get a web page? How do I get, you know, it's like, I feel like these were all the things that delayed me for a while, was this like getting, I'm going to say getting, that's lying, using these things as reasons to not start.
Yeah. And it's real. Like,
not that
the feelings that we have. Yeah, they can become overwhelming. But when you have, you know, someone you're accountable to that does an eagle eye view and says, okay, well, what's stopping you? And you're like, I don't know. Like, I just don't want to, or I'm not sure how. Okay, well, what if you knew how? What would you do then? Mm. You know, and then you're like, shit, I need to be accountable to this. I need to do it. It just moves you forward. And I think it's so important for people. And I think, like, you're never going to be feeling 100% motivated all of the time. And business brings up a lot of things for us. But if you have the opportunity to be in counsel with people who know your heart, who want to hold you to a higher standard, or if I voice something to Mark, like, I'm going to do this thing, it's out there now. It's out there. And I've said it, and now there's accountability to it. And I know I can get my end goal in mind. And being a business owner can be challenging. Like, cash flow challenges really can put us into fight, flight, freeze, fawn, all versions of those things. And so recognizing that and talking it through with someone to say, like, I don't feel safe in my money story right now with my business, or what do I need to do? You know, one of the things Mark and I talk about a lot is security creates safety in your business. When you have reoccurring revenue, it creates security. It creates the opportunity for your nervous system to regulate. And so we love to reimagine, like, what that can look like, you know, different types of revenue streams, so that if you do have an illness or you want to take a secondment, that there are security filled opportunities for you to do that. You've saved money inside your corporation or your business, or reoccurring revenue from clients are still coming in. And all of those decisions come back to the fact that you can do business any way you want. It can be overwhelming, but it needs to be in purpose. And then you filter strategies that feel aligned for you. And then you be held accountable to someone. And it's really a no-brainer to do that with someone you trust.
There's nothing more important than actually saying yes to that, like, to the mission, to the beginning. I know for me, it was when I finally acknowledged I wanted to, and then actually made my first post, that I was like, oh my God, I've outed myself, you know? And of course, you have, like, the worst fears of what's going, the person you most fear replying to your post, or there's a troll for that anyways. But it's like that, and doing it anyway. I think when you find something that matters to you that much, you're able to begin to resist those types of things. And you're speaking about the nervous system thing, which I think is really important here. It's like, that first post, I didn't know what was happening, but I was expanding my capacity. I was expanding my capacity to hold myself and differentiating myself from the thoughts, feelings, and opinions of someone else, that those could coexist, that their thoughts and feelings and opinions were not me. And that differentiation, which was something that was new for me, was so important, because I could, at the same time, I was learning how to express myself more assertively in relationship and ask for what I needed and wanted. So they were happening at the same time. And what happens when you hang out with other people who have done something that you desire to do, and this is the same thing as relational coaching or therapy, is that you are co-regulating. So unconsciously, your nervous system is actually connecting to the nervous system of the person that you're around, and assuming they're regulated and they're like in their space of calm, rest, and digest, you're picking up on that. So even if you're afraid to create and start, when you get into a room or on a call or whatever it is with other people who are doing that, your body starts to breathe into it without you even knowing it. That's why I think what's so interesting about there's the like logical, strategic things that are important. And then there's the 100%. Magic that happens when you surround yourself with other people who are desiring and have already done a few more things.
Yeah. And I love this so much because one of the things I'm known most for in my community is I can hold the belief for people. It's one of my superpowers. And so people are like, I'm going to borrow your belief until I do it for myself. And I think that that has been one of the most powerful things, because when we haven't done something, it's scary. And like you articulated, your first post, you can spiral out. You're like obsessing about trolls for 25 minutes. And you don't even realize, not saying that's what you did, but just in theory.
I might have.
And when all of a sudden, when all of a sudden you're in the right room with people, it stops the spiral. And someone asks a brilliant question instead that changes the trajectory of your thinking. Like, well, what's the best thing that can happen? And I don't think you would have ever, ever thought it was possible to build, create the love like you did. No. You know, never. You wouldn't have even fathomed it, but you know, that's an important part of reimagining business with other like-minded people, is it stops the spiral. You can borrow the collective belief of people, and asking really important questions can change and shift the trajectory. Like, some of my favorite things are just being in rooms with people who have ideas that I didn't even consider, and then therefore I can take and implement and make change for, and it's revolutionary. You know, what's the best that can happen has become a fiber of what I think about often.
You know, one of the most powerful experiences I have is witnessing and participating in someone's self-awareness of like what's possible for them and putting the pieces together and then being like, fuck this, I'm not doing this shit the way I used to do it. That's like one of my favorite things, is working with people in person or in the community on calls, things like that. But the other thing is that because I know that the most dramatic shift in my life, you know, a few of them have been relational things, relationships ending, betrayals, things like that. Those have been very potent for me. But actually saying yes to a business and to my purpose and to my soul has been everything. And I'd even say those betrayals and those relational endings were the doorway. But they ultimately were the doorway to my purpose. They were the doorway to my now wife and my family. And that's obviously exceptionally important to me. But equally as important to me, not less important, is actually being in my mission and my purpose. And that my wife is the most important human in my life alongside my son. But my purpose doesn't live less than that. It actually is allowed, it's by continuing to say yes to that within myself, I'm able to better show up to my relationship and to my family. And the more my family calls me forward, the better I can show up to my purpose. So these are not like work-life balance. This is like life and the symbiosis that both bring. And, you know, I remember hearing Eric Thomas say, the hip hop preacher, if people aren't familiar, he said, you want to be a seven-figure earner, but are you a seven-figure father? And it's like, why are we settling for pockets of success? Like, for me, fuck that. Like, have it all, create it all, not have yes. it all, create it all, because it's not something you fall upon or it's lucky. It's like when people go, oh, create the love, like Mark got lucky with blah, 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 blah. I fucking posted every day up to 3 times a day for 8 years. Like, hell no. You don't see the like, the level of intention that goes in behind something. We assume things like that so that we can sabotage our own growth and actually put in our own work. I recognize that as a behavior, but it's like just the amount of joy that you can bring into your own life by, instead of having these secret pockets of shame or lack of fully stepping into who you could be, you actually use those as vehicles to create everything.
Well said. And like, life first business to me is everything. You know, I take summers off to be with my daughter and we, you know, spend time together. That's so important to me. And she also gets to see me being an incredible entrepreneur, and she gets to see clients coming up to me and saying like, your mom helped me so much. And that is so rewarding for our legacy. Like, she knows what I do for work. She talks about it often. She asks if she can come up on stage at my events. You know, I pick her up from school. I'm there for her. I can set the tone on my own life and create legacy money for my family that never existed before. And you mentioned it previously, but that's one of the biggest rewards about entrepreneurship is you get to set the terms on what the limit is, you know, where your ceiling is, and you get to set the parameters on how much you work and what your team looks like, and you grow your leadership and your capacity along the way. And one of the things that I love that you're opening up on this podcast is like, people have never seen behind the scenes of Create the Love. And I've been fortunate enough to know the team, and Mark, you know, runs a integrity filled back end. People have a voice. There's lots of vacation flexibility, and that's important to him, you know, and he's made millions and millions of dollars. He's had so much success, but now you have the opportunity to see, you know, what lives behind the scenes. So tell us a little bit about, you know, what it's been like for you shifting out of, you know, being an employee to a business owner and leading a big team and making pivots. Talk us through that a little bit.
Whose podcast is this? I just, I mean, leaving being an employee was very different because, you know, I knew what amount of money was coming into my bank every month. It was very predictive. It was safe. It was at the time, you know, for the first part of it, I enjoyed the work I was doing, but there was a point where I didn't anymore as I became more aware of the purpose that was calling for me. So I could kind of feel my soul dying over here and my soul asking me to leap over here. It was like, there's more soul over here if you want. And I was like, and that bridge, I think we all walk as we say yes to something that we know is scary but expansive. The journey's been beautiful. I mean, yeah, you're right. Like, I never would have guessed the first day that I made a post or the first time I went to an event with Gabrielle Bernstein and Danielle Laporte speaking, and then, you know, 8 years later be sharing a stage with Danielle Laporte, you know, and just like, and having a friendship, or, you know, it's like all these people that were my teachers that I've been able to interview. Like, I got to interview Harville Hendricks and Helen Hunt, who were like one of the most inspiring people in the relationship space. I've gotten to interview the Gottmans. I've gotten, like, there's all these people now that are like
Gabor.
Yeah. Gabor Mate. Oh my God. And all these people who are now peers, which is really just like so beautiful to teach you what's possible when you say yes to something. And, you know, equally has been the challenges of like shifting of identity, purpose, intention, abundance, you know, for like that time when we were doing, when we did the 7-figure launches, then all of a sudden you got 6-figure expenses every month. So that became a lot of recognizing that my lack of, you know, I said to everyone, I posted every day for 8 years. That's not necessarily something to brag about. There weren't scheduling apps and things like that yet. So I would say I didn't really have a lot of boundaries around my self-expression and around when I was showing up to social media. And so I've had to learn so much about honoring my own capacity, because a business will take your whole capacity, especially when it's your passion. And everyone who's an entrepreneur knows that it's like, how do I monetize in a smarter way so I can live and have, like you're talking about, create being able to pick up your daughter from school and create life, you know, on your terms, essentially. And I think we have a lot of beliefs like, oh, that's not possible for me. That's nice for Selena. I remember Dan Sullivan being, he takes, I think, something like 9 weeks of vacation a year. And when he told a lady that, she said, that must be nice. And he said, it is, you know, because that's something I've been learning a lot about, is like, it doesn't have to look the way you think it was supposed to look. Business doesn't have to be always this constantly stressful machine. We actually get to decide how we're going to be in relationship with it. And I think a lot of the lack of trust in because when you charge money for your services, you have to believe in your services. You have to believe in yourself. If you charge money for a product you create, you have to believe in your product. And you also have to make sure your integrity is aligned with the things that you're offering. Otherwise, not to say that people out of integrity can't make lots of money, because they have. But the journey has been challenging that way of like, hey, wait, I didn't want to be a manager. Like, oh, wait, I didn't want to deal with like inter-team challenges of relational things, like deal with your own stuff, you know, but I realized that as the leader, you're the one who transcends all of that. It's all my responsibility. And when I had like 9 employees and we were doing all those that became a little too much for me, the way it was operating. I found myself working just to pay people and then not be able to pay myself at one point. And I'm like, this doesn't make sense. Like, this is not how I want to operate either. And what you were saying about when you sign up for entrepreneurship, you're signing up for, what was it, like the constant?
Making hard choices. Yeah. Going to your edge, choosing hard things.
That's continuously been true. It was like, that continues to be true. And you know, when I launch something and it's like crickets, you realize, instead of that being, oh, that means I'm not good at what I do, or da 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 da, it's like, oh, this didn't resonate. I didn't create the right offer. I didn't create the right product. I have to be able to pivot, much like in my personal life. I have to be able to pivot and be able to take in the information of my environment. So it's been, you know, the one thing about relationship is I've had them start and end in the time that I've had Create the Love and start again. And Create the Love and have, being an entrepreneur has never ended throughout that. And so it's a relationship. My relationship to my purpose is a never-ending relationship. And I think I love teaching from it, because now I have so much experience under my belt that I'm like, oh, like this is just a weathering of a storm. This needs a reorientation, like really trusting the universe, which that sounds totally woo. And it is, because it was like, what I learned at the very beginning, when people would say to me, just leap and the net will appear, I was like, that's great. I can't wait to face plant on the concrete. Easy for you to say from your entrepreneurial success. But now I actually can say that every time I leap, every time I trust, I am caught. And I think that's been harder to remind myself of, in the last, I'd say 2 or 3 years, but it's something that I come back to, is like, you already know.
So I know it's your podcast and I'm honored to be here, but that's why I asked that question, because of that exquisite answer and that beautiful unfiltered truth you just shared.
Yeah. You know, I think one thing about having a podcast that's been great throughout all of it, because like the social media followers come and go, the algorithm likes and doesn't, shadow bans, doesn't, well, all the bullshit, but the podcast just, you know, for you listening, watching, I'm so grateful, because we've been in relationship. Maybe some of you are new and welcome. But like, it's been such a long relationship of where I'm like, I just evolve out loud. And I think, you know, it's like, this is what I'm going through. Here's the challenge. And I'm not sure what to do with it yet. And I think we assume that people we admire or want to listen to or whatever it is, we assume that they got their poop in a group. And I'm like, everybody's got some shit together and some shit everywhere. And that, like, let's just normalize that. Not that everything is a curated Instagram feed with the perfect butt, you know, like you can't Photoshop that, like entrepreneurship. You can't Photoshop it.
And the other truth is that you could have an intentional, viable business completely off social media. You know, there's all different right. types of variation and ways to have a business. And that's what Reimagine is all about, is thinking about what you have and your gifts and your purpose and your superpowers and your strengths and all of the work you've been doing, and where will it take you, and how do you want to be of high of service. And if you love social media, great. And if you love networking, great, you know?
Yeah, I think, you know, when I look at a business person's relationship to social media, I actually think the best way to do it is, this is what I'm discovering now, having been off socials for a couple months, is actually doing things like paid ads and targeted things, because you're deciding your relationship with the platform. That to me, I think, might be the differentiator. I'm not sure yet. I'll get more clear on that as time goes on. But you know, for you listening or watching, Selena and I have teamed up to provide continuous business relational offerings that are important to us in terms of the environment that we're creating. Like our first one is in Kananaskis. It's at the beginning of October. You can go to markgroves.com/reimagine and check out all the details. But the whole idea is exactly what Selena said. It's like, how do we immerse ourselves, one, in nature and get rid of technology and surround ourselves with other people who are committed to evolving at the highest level possible based on the things that are going on in their business and their life? And how do we create business and life in our terms? And what Selena and I have both experienced through each other is both entrepreneurial business money expansion and personal relational expansion. And we're like, wow, these need to come together. And let's just mm-hmm. supercharge one event, one retreat in nature, a place we love. And we know Kananaskis well, which is like one of the most spectacular places on the planet, with a Nordic spa, because how can you do anything without a Nordic spa? And what's possible after time together with that type of expansive mind? So what Selena did when she came to my house and reinvented my business, that's what we're going to do in Kananaskis while also reinventing our relational lives.
And what a blessing it is to be able to reimagine something, whether you're new to business or you've been in business a long time. Being in council with some of the best humans on the planet, really thinking about business differently from a place of deep purpose and clarity, and why we're choosing to, you know, turn off the noise and just be, is when you give yourself permission to rest into a topic, creativity just explodes. And Mark and I love to mastermind together all the time. And we wanted to create an opportunity for people who felt called to do it with us to have the sounding board to say, like, this is what I'm up to. You know, these are my fears. These are my blocks. I've been doing this, this, and this. You know, how can I reimagine this? And that's dedicated time with an intimate group of people. There's only 10 spots plus Mark and I, and we're going to have this ability in community to deep dive into business. And you get to ask Mark things that he's never opened up to. And I'm so grateful to have this conversation with you today, Mark, because you've never talked about business publicly in this way. And you are absolutely brilliant in business. You've created so much impact, so much with your business. And I think it's such a cool opportunity to be in the room with Mark, especially. And my ass-kicking ways together creates some fire-filled magic.
Oh yeah. All the magic that I've experienced from getting guidance from you, from business and money and self, like self-expression, all that kind of stuff and how they tie together. Like, I'm super pumped to create this with you. And for all of you listening, go check out the link and we'll put the link in the show notes and make sure you fill out an application. I think we only have 3 spots left at the time of this recording. And we'd love to have you there. If not, put yourself on the wait list and we'll be launching another opportunity to do that, because this is just something we both love to do. And we can't wait to help people shift their relationships and their lives and their business at the same time. Thanks so much for being here, Selena. I appreciate you.
I love you immensely. And thank you so much for this conversation and for all the reflections in our growth together.
Love you too.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is
Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short.
Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.